broadcasting live from the KSHP studios in the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. It's time to get on the right side of sports betting. It's time for the Odds Couple.
Welcome to the Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, simulcast live and worldwide. Vegas Video Network. My name is Scott Pritchard. I'm a professional sports bettor handicapper featured on VegasInsider.com, Tim Donahue's site, RefPicks.com, and my site, PritchardsPicks.com, where you can hear us live Monday through Friday, each and every week, right here, Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada. My co-host, the GM, Brett Grant, great to have you with us. How was your weekend?
It was interesting. I had a fun weekend, though. Beautiful weather. Spent some time up at the Speedway. Spent some time on the golf course. Spent some time avoiding crime. I was doing it all this weekend.
I saw something posted on Facebook that you were nearly mugged downtown Fremont Street.
Well, it never got to the point, but it was nearly a purse snatching. How about that? Not my purse, by the way. But we were my purse was in the car. Thank you very much. it was an interesting experience. My wife and I were, our kids are teenagers, and they were participating in a program up at the Speedway. And we thought, well, we got 3 hours to kill. Let's go have lunch. And I said, let's go downtown. There's a lot of buzz about some places downtown. We were going to go to one specific restaurant, but they were only open until 2 o'clock, so they were already closed. It was about 3 o'clock. And we went down, and we had a great lunch at Triple George. And terrific. And we said, oh, let's just walk over to Fremont Street. So right along 3rd Street, we were walking across 3rd Street, where they have that the boneyard of some signs, the old neon signs of Vegas, and you see one for the Flame and a couple other properties, when it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Yesterday was a brilliant, sunshiny, beautiful day, right? So you're not expecting anything at that time of the day. And almost simultaneously, about 100 feet or so away from the main people at Fremont, from a crowd of people at Fremont Street. And we were kind of by ourselves. Well, unbeknownst to me, we weren't quite by ourselves. And my wife and I both felt about the same time there was somebody behind us. I just turned around, and maybe, probably even closer than the two of us are right now, there were two guys. One was in a pouncing position like he was a lioness ready to attack a antelope. Just like that.
Had to be a strange feeling.
Yeah, it was. My wife was shaken up quite a bit by it. But I never got nervous from the stand. It was more of a reaction, and it was just about I didn't scream it, but as vocally as I could, basically get the blankety blank blank away from me, kind of thing. And the one guy stopped and cowered. The guy who was about ready to pounce immediately acted like he was going to be tying his shoe, and he wasn't dropping down to tie his shoe, because you wouldn't be walking up and get 2 feet away from you to go tie my shoe. I would stop, let the crowd disperse so I don't get run over, right, and tie my shoe. The other guy. And that was about 90 degrees yesterday, right? Pretty close to it. Hooded sweatshirt on, hoodie up, hands in his pockets, acting like he might have had something in his pocket. So I was acting like I had something in my pocket, unbeknownst to him. Whether I did or didn't isn't the point. And I kept vocally telling the guy to get the you-know-what away from me. And we kept walking. And he was walking side by side for probably another 20 feet before he went the other direction, finally. Going through, and I just made it very clear I knew exactly what he was doing, and he didn't want to do that because he would, you know, just not trying to be a hard ass about it, because I'm not, but it was just one of those things where there were just a couple of punk kids out to try and for a quick victim. Now, my wife was carrying her purse, which is a big bag, and because my daughter was involved in something up there, she also had her purse. My wife's carrying two purses with her, and she's 5 feet tall. So we looked like a couple of rubes walking down, you know. We did. I got my flip-flops on, sunglasses, drinking an iced tea, walking across 3rd Street. So we looked like we were, you know, easy targets, my guess would be.
I would guess that awareness is the key. I've been in Las Vegas for the past 19 years, never have had an incident, but I'm always looking over my shoulder. I'm paranoid going to and from the sports book, cashing out an occasional winner for decent money.
Sure.
And again, 90% of the time I try to valet park.
Right.
But again, try to minimize those situations. Downtown, I love downtown, zip line.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm telling you, it's great.
Honestly, that's what we were doing. We have a zip line? I said, let me go show you the zip line. We're going to walk over and watch some people on the zip line. That's exactly what we were doing.
Well, let's get started with the odds couple. What say you? We're talking about the Boston Red Sox, Major League Baseball. We talked before about never bet on a streak to end, whether it's a winning streak, losing streak. The simple answer, the easy answer is you can only lose one time, and you can win countless times. But the Red Sox on fire, but they finally lost this past weekend.
They did, and, you know, might have been a combination of a little bit of an emotional drain, a very emotional week in Boston, and the Royals got them in a double. You know, the game was canceled on Friday, I guess it was, right? And they moved it back, and they played a doubleheader yesterday. They had Neil Diamond make his unannounced visit on Saturday, which I thought was very, very cool. And then Sunday, the Royals are an improved team, especially early in the year. The Royals seem to play some pretty decent baseball early in the year. And I guess all things come to an end, but I think part of it might have been because of a little bit of the emotion got up, caught up with them. And also Shane Victorino being out of the lineup. They missed that spark plug at the top of their order as well. And, you know, I'm not sold that the Red Sox are that good of a team yet. So it was just a great run coming to a close.
Great run early in the season. Red Sox first place, American League East, long way to go. We'll see how it plays out. But now for something entirely different. You mentioned Neil Diamond. He sang. What's your favorite Neil Diamond song?
Well, you know, obviously Sweet Caroline would be the first choice, but I like September Morn. I like a lot of Neil Diamond stuff. He's pretty good.
Play me.
Right?
I like that one.
That's a good one too. Yeah. All right.
Well, let's talk NBA playoffs.
For me?
I'm going to pass, respectfully. We don't want to turn this into karaoke hour. But I will say that NBA playoffs got underway Saturday and again yesterday. First round of the playoffs. Exciting. I have to say that, unfortunately for the Golden State Warriors, David Lee, star player, out for the playoffs. They had a good showing in game one in Denver, Mile High City.
Yeah.
Two-point game, 97-95. A lot of us felt racehorse basketball during the course of the regular season. These teams love to turn it into a track meet. We know in the playoffs it's a half-court game. These two teams proved it. Again, I think that's part of the reason as to why I'll talk about the Thunder taking on the Rockets in game one a little bit later. But again, you'll notice in the playoffs they do tend, every possession is magnified. They tend to slow it down. But unfortunately for the Warriors, David Lee being out for the playoffs, it's going to be tough.
He's a native of St. Louis. Went to one of my rival high schools, in Chaminade High School in St. Louis. He's a terrific player. And, you know, at 97-95 game, when these two teams were teams that blew over 100 points almost every game they played, and you talked about this all you know, last couple of weeks, that the game slowed down in the postseason. Andre Miller just decided, I'm just going to win the game, or we're either going to win the game or we're going into overtime. And I like that philosophy, especially as a home team in a tie game. We're not giving the other team a chance in that regard. He got to the basket late, had a big day, 28 points for him going through. And the other thing is, you look at if you look at the box score of that particular game, not necessarily, although a great shot late for Seth Curry, not necessarily a great game for him. And I think for them, he was only 7 of 20 in the game. He's got to be top-notch for them to beat the Nuggets.
And I think he will be. But again, if you live by the three-point shot, you die by it. As good as he is, setting the record with three-pointers made this season, he, again, it's tough to sustain that level of consistency, right? Shooting 45% from the three-point line when you're on the road, high altitude, thin air, as opposed to Oakland.
Yeah, and also a bad day for Jarrett Jack. I mean, he had been the NBA sixth man, a terrific player off the bench, only 10 points, 3 of 12 shooting. So you look at Golden State, and you're saying, obviously, losing David Lee, who had 10 points, and, you know, team-wise, didn't shoot very well. Now you got a hole to fill, and you got two guys that you're going to have to rely on to provide most of your scoring. I mean, Klay Thompson as well. Those three guys are going to have to pick up that slack and really score. And can Harrison Barnes score more? Who's going to fill in for what David Lee did from a rebounding standpoint? How much more can Andrew Bogut do for Golden State? Who's going to fill that hole off the bench for them? Is it Draymond Green? Is it Carl Landry? Where are they going for the rebounds?
I think he's irreplaceable. I mean, I know when I bet on the Warriors during the season, primarily when they were at home, a couple of times when they did not have David Lee, I lost money. And it's like, obviously, the point spread reflects the fact that one of their star players is out, but they're just not the same team. So, and I'm somewhat relieved. I mean, I'm disappointed that David Lee is out. But at the same time, from a sports betting standpoint, I don't know if you tuned in Friday, Anthony Padilla, co-host, I have to say, he went on record.
Right now,
saying,
that seat is being occupied by Manti Te'o's girlfriend. Just so you know.
But Anthony was here saying that he really thought the Warriors would beat the Nuggets in this series, and I said there is no chance of the Lakers beating the Spurs, and there is no chance of the Warriors beating the Nuggets. And he called me out and said, listen, man, shave your head if you're so confident. I said, I will. I will shave my head if the Warriors knock off the Nuggets. So I was a little bit nervous. 97-95, cutting it too close. But now the Warriors would have to win four of the next six games, and, of course, without David Lee. So I think I'm okay.
Well, neither team in that particular – you might be, and you should be. 44% for Denver in the game, 41% for Golden State in the game. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think if Golden State were able to get in closer to that 50% shooting range, if Curry and Jack come through, can the Warriors win some games in this series with better play without David Lee in the lineup?
I don't think they have any shot in game two, Brett. I do think when they come home, that crowd, raucous crowd, I'm telling you, in Oakland, I've been there many times, they sell out. They just play a different game at home, and I do love you. You talked about Jarrett Jack up for Sixth Man of the Year. I loved what he did this year. But as far as the Sixth Man of the Year, they've announced the winner, and I was a little bit surprised because it wouldn't have been my choice. Jamal Crawford of the LA Clippers would have been my choice, but they went with the Knicks Sixth Man, J.R. Smith, who to me is a gunner. He takes the team out of their element when he comes in. He is an egomaniac, in my opinion. He feels he's a starter, and I know you have to believe in your ability. You have to believe in yourself as a player, but I'm not sold on J.R. Smith. I would have liked to have seen Jamal Crawford for the Clippers get the Sixth Man of the Year award.
Those are the three guys. And I like Jarrett Jack. I just thought he was an instant offense guy and a very good contributor for them as well. Were you surprised in the eight opening round games that we saw? First of all, the home team won all eight games. Only two underdogs covered. One was Golden State. The other one was the Celtics. And that might have been a push for some folks. But it was seven and a half I saw. Ended up on seven. So it was probably a win or push if you had Boston in the game. But everybody else was flat out blown out of the gym in their games.
I think that has to do with that's why we've only had five or six road teams that actually only five or six teams in the NBA every year have a road winning record. So this is what you play for, to get home court advantage. And it's important in game one. It's even more important in, say, a game seven. Now, no surprises. One beating eight, two beating seven, three beating six. But it gets kind of interesting, the 4-5s. I mean, Memphis taking on the Clippers. And the last time the Clippers were at home against the Memphis Grizzlies, they lost. But they did learn a few things. The Clippers are a very good home team, an average road team. Better today or better this year on the road than they've ever been, the LA Clippers. So while all eight home teams won, all eight home teams were favored.
Right.
Now, there's something called the zigzag theory in pro basketball in the playoffs, because you have, for the most part, good, solid teams. So, as an example, if the Clippers won and covered like they did in game one, the theory would be to zag. We zigged with the Clippers, now we zag. Zigzag theory, because you have a good team, they're going to make some adjustments, and the point spread's 5, 5.5, a touch of 6. South Point in Las Vegas has 6. At least they did as recently as 30 minutes ago. So, I mean, the idea is based on the zigzag theory. Now, the odds makers are aware of it, so they'll shade it a little bit more. But, again, I'm a numbers guy. So, if you do like the Grizzlies, instead of taking +5.5, there is a 6 out there.
But you think it's a good spot? I mean, we'll talk about the game because obviously it's coming up later on tonight. And I agree with you. I think in the Grizzlies bounce back, they were blown out. They gave up 112 points. A team that had only given up 89 points a game during the season, and they were completely taken out of their element and played very poor defensively. And I think the other team tonight that plays is the Chicago Bulls against Brooklyn, another team that plays very good defense, played horrible defense in their game on Saturday as well. I think both those teams, you would expect better defensive efforts out of both of those teams tonight.
Yeah, I would agree with that assessment, because the Bulls, they're known for one thing, defense, and they did not bring it. They were on the road taking on the Brooklyn Nets. And the thing with Brooklyn, my observation has been that they've been an inconsistent team. Up, down, you really don't know what you're going to get. They were on. They looked great in game one. So I would agree with that. I mean, I think the Bulls, they're built on defense. They have a lot of pride, and they can bring it defensively. So, I mean, the under might be a play. Now, you asked me my opinion on the Clipper-Grizzlies game tonight. I haven't played it. If I were to play it, if I had to make a choice, I would be on the Grizzlies plus the 6 points. I'm a dog player.
Right.
Points mean more than opinions. And again, I love getting numbers that really don't exist. I would be hard-pressed to think that this line is going to go to 6.5, 7, as opposed to 5.5, 5, 4.5 by tip-off. So I think there might be some value with the Grizzlies, plus 6.
Well, but you mentioned you like the 6. Let's say by the time the show's over, everybody's sitting at 5.5 again. Are you the kind of guy who would buy the half point to get to 6, or you wouldn't play the game because you couldn't get your 6?
I would never buy a half point. Why would you pay twice the juice? Instead of paying 10 cents, $1,100 to win 1,000, why would you lay $1,200 to win 1,000? I mean, what I try to do, like in football, when it really matters, because you have such key numbers on sides, 3, 7, 4, 6, 10, we know those are the key numbers in football. 15% of all pro football games decided by a field goal, 18% a year ago. So obviously, if you can buy on and off 3 for an extra 10 cents, there's value there, a lot of value. But sportsbooks will not allow you to do what they used to, and that made sense then. But everything changes. The reason is, today, you have to lay 30 cents. And so again, minus 2.5 minus 30 is the same as minus 3 minus 10. So again, it's really, people look, I was talking to Jacob Cannon here yesterday, in fact, about how people get caught up in what the number is, but really the juice, the vig, the rub, the house's edge is what you really need to be concerned about. Everything's relative. So to answer, to make your, in football, if the game is 7 everywhere and it goes to 6.5 everywhere and there's 1-7 and it's going to 6, so at 7, I don't bet square numbers.
Right.
So I only bet numbers that, A, I have to have an opinion. B, I have to get the best of it. There are occasions, rarely, that I will buy up, but never on a square number, ever, right, because why would you lay twice the juice? But if there's 1-7 out there, it was 7 everywhere in a football game, as an example.
Right.
And let's say that it moves to 6.5, and now we're seeing 6. Catch the 7, the one lone 7, I'll buy that up. Because it's the second most common number, I'm getting plus 7.5 on a game that closes 6. I have two key numbers working for me, 3, 7, 4, 6, 10. So 6 and 7 are key, and I block both those numbers. 7's a winner.
Gotcha.
And so in that case, but ordinarily, no. I'll take plus 6 when it closes 4.5 or 5. By tip-off, 90% of the time, by tip-off, the numbers, the bets that I have no longer exist.
Right.
So that's why people get caught up into wins and losses, but you know if a sports bettor is sharp or not based on, because I never like hearing after the game or the day later that someone won a bet. I simply ask them, what number did you get? Because you're going to win some, you're going to lose some, but I'll know if you're a sharp bettor if you,
right,
if you got a sharp number, if you got a number that didn't exist come tip-off or come kickoff.
So that number in this game, it would be 6 for this particular game. If you got the 6, you got the best of the number.
Right.
With regards to Memphis.
As well, because right now it's,
I bet the game at 4:30 and I got a 5.
Right.
Big
exactly
difference.
Right. It's like, why would you take plus 5 when you could have had plus 6?
Right.
And I understand people have a life, they have a family, and they have a career.
Sure.
But again, if you're going to do this, I do it professionally. So, I mean, obviously, I take it very seriously. And I understand there's an entertainment value.
Mm-hmm.
People do it for the action, but I only do it to make money. I'll give you an example. Last night, I went to Station Properties because the total on the Oklahoma City-Houston Rockets game, we know these are two high-scoring teams, but the total on the game was 212.5 everywhere.
Okay.
A couple of places had 213. There were a couple of 213.5s. One place on the planet had 214, Station Properties.
Okay.
So I bet it. They increased it. Instead of a nickel, you can bet a dime now. So I bet 1,100 to 1,000 under 214, the only 214 out there, moved at a half point down to 213.5. Now it fell to 11. I was telling Jacob Cannon last night as we were having dinner, I said, listen, man, I said, it only takes one bad quarter and I should get there.
Right.
And it did. I mean, it fell to 11. But, I mean, it's a three-point win. So even if, God forbid, a guy hits a half-court shot at the buzzer, at least it's a push. So
right,
points mean more than opinions.
And you got a bad first quarter in your favor.
45 points or 47.
And you got a bad third quarter.
Right? Exactly right.
Yeah.
And so then they can go ahead. The only thing I had to guard against was overtime. But based on the fact it was a double-digit favorite, it was unlikely.
Right.
And that's something. If it's a two-point spread or a three-point spread or a pick, hey, you know what? And I hate that. I hate, because I handicap a game for four quarters, not five. I think that they should change that rule, but no one's ever come to me and said, Scott, what do you think? So I have to adjust accordingly. But that's why if I bet overs, I like betting it for the game.
Right.
But I'm telling you, it's amazing. I don't proactively think I'm betting unders. But when you look at my tickets, it's amazing how many, and it's effective. It's been documented. You bet on things not to happen as opposed to what to happen. I'll give you an example. I was at Coast Properties NBA All-Star game. The total, we know it's an exhibition game.
600-700 was the total, I'm sure.
Exactly. Yeah. And everyone just blindly bets the over, and I get that. And you're looking at me like, why would you bet an exhibition game?
No, I'm listening intently.
But I'm a value guy, and I'm a numbers guy, right. And you give me the odds, and I'll bet into it only if I'm getting the best of it and only if I have a strong opinion. Now, the total for this game opened 290, East versus West in February. Friday night, the sophomores were playing the rookies, and there were like over 300 points scored. It's a different animal. People only remember what happened most recently. So the total then for the All-Star game 2 days later on Sunday went from 290 to 292, 93, 94, 95, 296, 297.
Wow.
So it's 30 minutes before tip-off. I'm at Coast Properties. They limit you to a nickel, 550 to win 500. And so I bet under 297, knowing in the islands, which the numbers in the islands, Pinnacle, are sharper than, say, they are here in Vegas because they have reduced VIG and they take high, high limits. So I bet 550 to win 500, and they never move the number. I take that personally. So it's like, okay, I popped it again, 550 to win 500. So now I have 1,100 to win 1,000 under the 297. Then it started to move to 296.5, 296. But in the islands, it's down to 295, 294.5. So I popped it at under 296 for another nickel. Waited a few minutes. They didn't move it, so I did it again. And then now in the islands, by tip-off, it closed at 293.5. Now, FTM, follow the money. Okay, so a lot of people saw what I saw, that it was overpriced, overvalued. While I was at the bet window, waiting, hanging out, not one person in 30 minutes bet the under. Now, the wise guys and the sharp players were all betting under, and my last bet was a nickel play, under 95.5. Now, you might say, gosh, why would you play under 97, 297, and yet play under 295.5? And it's like, well, because it's going to close 293.5. The idea is, in an All-Star game, we know there's going to be a barrage of points, but we also know that it only takes one quarter. And my only concern was so I had $2,500, $2,750 to win $2,500, under 297, 297, 296, 296, 295.5. It closed 293.5. So I'm getting 3.5 points the best of it.
Right.
I may win, I may lose, but long term, you're probably going to do well, okay for yourself. And it lends itself back to be on the move early or against it late. I was against it late. So you don't want to be under 290.
Now remind me the final score of the All-Star game.
It won by 35. And the only thing I had to worry about was overtime, because then it would have pushed it. Or, you know, even if it went over, that's how you know you have a good bet.
I just want you to know I was also on the under in that game.
Okay, good.
I did the same thing.
Well, the thing is,
I did not as much money, but I do remember thinking, that's astronomically high.
It is.
And I said, you really, same thing.
They overreacted based on what happened on Friday, which had nothing to do with Sunday's game. When you're talking about the sophomores playing the rookies, there was no defense at all, and we don't expect defense. But still, players are there to protect themselves and not really overly exert themselves offensively. But, again, that's why you put a number on anything. But you know you have a good bet if you bet the under and you win by 35 points, even if it goes overtime, even if the worst thing happens, just like the Seattle game last Thursday that I gave out, under 7,
right.
You know you have a good bet. It goes 13 innings and 2-1's the final.
You still...
Right, because I always get nervous, okay? I try to minimize and eliminate randomness. It may sound counterintuitive being a professional sports bettor, but I hate random things. I don't know what's going to happen in the 10th. I could bet the under. I could score 6 runs in the top half of the 12th inning, and I'm toast.
Right.
But in that situation, again, on the move early or against it late. So that would give you an example as far as points meaning more than opinions.
No, it's great analysis, and I think that's where a lot of people who aren't professional handicappers want to know that insight, and you're sharing that with us. I think it's outstanding.
You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio. My name is Scott Pritchard, professional sports bettor handicapper, featured on VegasInsider.com, Tim Donahue's site, RefPicks.com, my site, PritchardsPicks.com. I'm joined by the general manager, all-around good guy, sports bettor, Brett Grant. This is live and worldwide on Vegas Video Network in addition to KSHP AM 1400 Radio. Keep those live chat questions coming. Well, you want to talk sports? You want to talk sports betting? or you want to talk to Brett about how to protect yourself when you're down at Fremont Street. Keep the studio line. We have the line open, 221-7283. That's 702-221-7283. This is the segment Spin to Win as I bring in the wheel. This has to do with keeping an open mind. Emotions cloud judgment. Never bet with your heart. Only bet with your head. And we're honing in on the Clippers hosting the Memphis Grizzlies. It's game two. The Clippers are favored by 5.5 just about everywhere. I'm going to spin to win. Wherever the wheel lands, I have to force an argument as to why this might present some value, because the smart bettor knows that you have to be objective. Brett automatically will make an argument for the opposing team. Memphis Grizzlies down 0-1, taking on the LA Clippers. Clippers favored by 5.5. LA Clippers at home. Were these odds makers not watching game one? Clippers won going away, and I think it has to do with the fact that this Clipper team has a much better bench than the Memphis Grizzlies. Yes, I've said that points mean more than opinions, and yes, I'm a dog player. I generally take the points, but the Clippers at home, -5.5, I think presents some value, because oftentimes in the NBA, it's not who do you start, it's who do you have coming off the bench. Now, the Clippers won and covered in game one. History has a way of repeating itself. I like the Clippers, -5.5. Ring up the ringer, see the cashier.
Well, I was on the Clippers in game one. I thought it was a good spot for them in game one, especially to having that home court advantage, not to lose in game one and put themselves behind the eight ball. But now I think Memphis, these are two very evenly matched teams in a couple of different ways. I think Memphis did not bring much of a defensive effort in game one. I expect a much better defensive effort in game one. The line at 5.5 or 6, I think, presents tremendous value with the Grizzly team that you know does not want to go home down 0-2. They believe they can beat the Clippers. I think you'll see a much better performance out of Memphis today. They got out of their element. They started running too much. They didn't slow the Clippers down. I think you'll see that happen. A team gives up nearly, 25 more points or so, almost 30 more points than they normally give up in a game. That's a big problem for them, and I think they'll address that. Lionel Hollins, a very good coach. I think the defense is going to be the difference. Keep the game close. I love the +5.5 points today.
These two teams are very good teams. I mean, I respect the Clippers. I respect the Grizzlies. Now, these two teams played last year in the playoffs where the Memphis Grizzlies were a small favorite. I like them, and the Clippers came on to win in Game 7. That was a bit of a surprise. But, Brett, as I look at this matchup this year, I think the Clippers are better. I'm not convinced the Grizzlies are. In fact, I think I've gone on record many times as saying I think this Grizzlies team, a bit of a fraud, basically because they're so thin with their bench. Mm-hmm. I love Hollins, and I mean their coach, Lionel Hollins, right. I'm a big fan of. Marc Gasol, I like. Conley, Bayless, mm-hmm. Tony Allen, and Zach Randolph. But it stops there because they don't have a bench. They are on the road. The Clippers, I think they're smart enough to know, being led by CP3, that they have to win this game, because going to Memphis will be a tremendous challenge.
Well, I think Memphis has got to use the game where they have the advantages of. And that's at the free throw line, rebounding, defense, and not turning the ball over. That's the strength, I think, of the Grizzlies. Bench, no question. The Clippers have a much better bench led by Jamal Crawford. They shoot at a higher percentage. They score more points per game. But they don't play as good a defense. They're not as good of a rebounding team. They will turn the ball over. And they don't consistently make their free throws as well. So I think from a Memphis, this series to me, I think, is probably in the first round, and I think you'll probably agree, the most evenly matched series. And it's the 4-5 seed, and you say, normally. I think Golden State, if Lee was healthy, could give Denver a run as well. But now that's a moot point here, I think Memphis is a team. If anybody's going to win a road game, a lower-seeded team's going to win a road game, Memphis is the team that can do that in these first two games.
Well, it's interesting. You talk about the Memphis Grizzlies. They like to play the half-court set. They control the tempo. Defense is a constant, whether you're at home or on the road. The concern is the Clippers, though, they impose their will, because at home they run, they gun. It's Lob City. You don't see a lot of Lob City action when the Clippers hit the road. But at home, they force the tempo.
They had one dunk on Saturday, the Clippers did. So Memphis shut them down, Lob City, which honestly has been renamed for the baseball teams as Left on Base City.
Just I like keep, that. Just keep for that the mind. Angels, and especially the Dodgers,
exactly.
Right?
But the You know, they had one dunk. I think it was DeAndre Jordan had a dunk late in the game. And Blake Griffin was pretty much a non-factor in game one. And it was the shooting. It was Crawford with the, you know, the man who's had more four-point plays than anybody in the history of the NBA with a high arcing 35-foot jumper from the corner that got him going. I mean, Chris Paul making threes. Sometimes, and if you watch that game late, and it wasn't necessarily close, but Chris Paul, when he tries to do too much dribbling, he'll turn it over quite a few times. And I think Memphis, if he does that, is going to be – I think Memphis will have themselves in a better spot today than they were. They were a little bit overwhelmed in game one. I think they'll rebound nicely today.
I'm really glad you brought up that point that as good as the Clippers are in transition, regular season, man, it was slam dunk, alley-oop, slam dunk. It's a different game in the postseason, and to the credit of the Grizzlies, and that's the concern I have with the Denver Nuggets, not to be taken seriously because they run and gun. They only know one way. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the San Antonio Spurs. I mean, here it is 35 minutes into the show, and I haven't even touched on Greg Popovich and the San Antonio Spurs. We've been warning our listeners and our viewers, hey, forget the fact that they lost 7 out of 10. It's playoff time. This team is healthy, all right? Manu, Ginobili, and Tony Parker, 36 points combined, slammed the L.A. Lakers. I mean, it was no contest.
It was, you know, and I had San Antonio. I remember what you're talking about, and I saw the line was sitting nine, went to 8.5, and I just happened to look, and I saw an 8. I go, 8, boom. And I played the Spurs at 8. I figured it's going to go back up with the way the Lakers have been playing. It ended up closing again at 9. So I think I followed your advice there. I got the best of the number.
And that's critically important. Yeah. If nothing else, I'm telling you, even if you have opinions, don't have opinions, if you do nothing else but get good numbers, you'll always be in the game.
Yeah, well, you know, and I agree with you. I think the Lakers are overvalued going into the postseason, and now the Kobe factor really does become much more spotlighted. And then with the Spurs, they have, you know, you talk about benches. Talk about a bench, they could bring five or take away their five starters, use the rest of their team, and I bet you that's a 500 or better team in the NBA with five scrubs that you never see on the play. You take those guys and put them, they're winning 40 games with that group of guys.
Well, that's a good point because their bench, obviously, they played a lot of minutes to protect the big three. But I look at this Spurs team, and people don't realize that they have seven players, are you kidding me, that average double figures. Who do you key on? We know
exactly.
The big three, but, I mean, pick your poison. Seven guys averaging double figures? It's a complete team effort.
No question about it. And when you Parker's back, 18 yesterday. You mentioned Duncan, 17. Ginobili, 18. Bonner had 10. I mean, another guy that can burn you going through. And Kawhi Leonard only had 8, didn't necessarily have a good day.
I think he had 11 rebounds, Leonard.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
36 minutes or something.
They got plenty of guys that can go out and hurt you. And you're right. You bring up a good point. Obviously, Duncan, you can't let him go off on you and go crazy. But he had, 17 and 10 rebounds yesterday. If he does that all day, guess what? They'll be in the NBA Finals.
Well, and that's the key. I mean, boy, oh, boy, did the Oklahoma City Thunder look good last night, destroying the Houston Rockets. I'm not sold on Kevin McHale as a coach. I mean, I've been saying this for quite some time. I love James Harden. I like Lynn. But, boy, oh, boy, I mean, did you not watch what the Oklahoma City – why would you get into a track meet with the Oklahoma City Thunder? Why? On their home court.
And you let Russell Westbrook run wild. And then guess what? When he's running wild, there's a guy behind him going, I'm open for three. And, by the way, I don't miss very often. And, yeah, it was just a complete mismatch. The second quarter and third quarters were huge for OKC. And, you know, they jumped out to a seven-point lead. They're up – big at halftime, and never were challenged in that spot.
They never were challenged. The other thing is, do not foul Kevin Durant. He's a jump shooter, and no one is better. But if you foul him, you're going to get into foul trouble. You're going to be in the penalty, and it's an automatic 2 or 3 points for Kevin Durant.
Nine for the foul line yesterday.
Yeah, he doesn't miss.
Yeah,
he
no.
does. I believe he had 24 points, and nine of those 24, because I think he shot, around 40, 50% from the field?
7 of 15.
Yeah, 7 of 15. So that's okay. You can live with that. But the nine freebies from the charity stripe, I mean, you're okay if he has 15, 16 points. But to get nine from the free throw line, I mean, I've seen him with 13 out of 14, 17 out of 18. I mean,
right.
That's what I love about the Spurs. Popovich, he does not – when they played, Durant does not get to the free throw line. Right. Now, they do have home court, so they will get the calls, but it'll be interesting to see. I think these two teams are on a collision course. It's going to be interesting to see. I feel the Clippers will win, and then they'll take on the Thunder, and I expect a good series. I don't expect a great series between the Nuggets and the Spurs if things continue to play out the way they have.
I don't disagree with you, and I think, you know, being banged up, and the Nuggets obviously lost their big offensive player as well going into the playoffs, so they're shorthanded. And then lost and missed some time, so he might be a little banged up. But, yeah, if you get the Spurs all healthy, everybody on full go, full throttle down, I don't necessarily see Oklahoma City beating the Spurs either.
Right now, and I would agree with that. I mean, I have the Spurs at plus 250 to win the Western Conference. I bet numbers, but I bet that thinking, hoping that they would be the top seed because I want – home court advantage. But as it's playing out, I would rather play the Nuggets in the second round as opposed to the Clippers. The only concern I have is if everyone holds serve and it's the Spurs against the Thunder, I do not like. I only deal in pluses. You know, having the Patriots at 5-1 to win the AFC Conference Championship this year, come the moment of truth, they're minus 4-something on the money line. I took plus 3-something on the Ravens, and it's a free shot. So you have a plus 5-1, you have a plus 3 here, everything's good. Whenever you do make a future bet, generally speaking, they're sucker plays. It only takes one place to have one bad number. The Patriots, even when they started out 1-2, you could not get 5-1. So again, I bet numbers, but dealing with pluses only. So in this case, I am a little concerned. I mean, I need to balance, hedge the action a little bit. I'm just waiting. Well, and last night winning by 30-some against the Rockets.
Help.
Yeah, exactly. So because now the price is like even money. Even money for the – I can't imagine any team other than the Spurs or the Thunder coming out of the West. But, again, today it's even money. But if those two teams meet or when they meet, obviously Oklahoma City will be a minus as a small favorite. But I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced that the Clippers wouldn't give them a good run.
I think the Clippers, it'll be interesting to see how much the Clippers get challenged against Memphis. If they get their act together, if they get pushed to a 7-game series, or if they handle them in 5 or 6. I think it's fatigue is a big factor because you're playing all these games now and you've already played 80-plus. Now we're going to go into games 85 and maybe 87 by the time the first round's over, and now you go into the second round. You're looking at 90-plus games, and fatigue becomes a factor.
Studio line is open, 702-221-7283, odds couple. My name is Scott Pritchard, joined as always by Brett Grant. Great to have you with us on Vegas Video Network as we're live and worldwide every Monday through Friday from 10 a. to 11 a. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Have you ever thought you should be on the radio? Or have you considered doing an online video show or podcast? If so, now is your only chance to do both at the same time. KSHP and the Vegas Video Network have teamed up to provide the only multi-camera broadcast quality video and live radio simulcast in Las Vegas. And instead of having your show played at some ungodly hour, the KSHP Vegas Video Network partnership is producing shows that play from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. Imagine having your own radio show broadcasting to the entire Las Vegas Valley, and combine that with an online presence that is viewed in all 50 states and 150 countries, both live and on demand. This is a first and an outstanding opportunity to give voice to your business, your ideas, and your talent. If you'd like your own show on KSHP and the Vegas Video Network, contact us today at 221-1200. That's 221-1200.
Welcome back to the Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, Sin City. My name is Scott Pritchard, joined as always by Brett Grant. We would love for you to reach out to us. You can do that a number of ways. Email us, oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. That's oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. Also, we have web-based voicemail. Would love to hear your voice on our show. Go to our site, Vegas Video Network, right-hand side, red bar, click there. Middle of the page, green bar, hit start recording. We also field live chat questions if you want to talk sports or sports betting. If you do miss us live, no worries. You can reach out to us on Vegas Video Network, YouTube, iTunes, Roku. We're talking sports betting, KSHP, AM 1400 radio, live and worldwide on Vegas Video Network. Sports betting, you don't have to look far to find frustration. Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me? Do you believe in stupidity? You know, when I was 12 years old, it was Al Michaels, do you believe in miracles? Yes! As Marv Albert broke into it. But now, Al Michaels joining the Witherspoon family, joining the Yavani Gallardo family, 68-year-old, Al Michaels arrested for DUI. What are we doing, people? I guess all things come in three. So we got a baseball player, we have a has-been actress, and now we have a guy, an icon in sports broadcasting who spent, obviously called that wonderful Miracle on Ice in 1980, been in Monday Night Football booth for 20 years, called multiple World Series. He was a guy in the World Series 1989 when the earthquake happened between the A's and the Giants. Who knew we were putting down his glass of scotch that caused the earthquake going through?
Now we know.
I don't know. What is with these guys? I mean, these guys, these people, they're loaded to the gills in alcohol and money, and they're not smart enough to hire a car or a driver. Now, he blew right at the legal limit of .08. He's ordered to appear in court now in June. He's 68 years old. When are we going to learn? You can't drink and drive. Hire a car. Get a cab. Learn from this. It's all over the news. It's didn't Withers Reese's husband just get nailed like the day before?
He did.
Yeah.
In
amazing
more ways than one.
Exactly. We might have been. So, Al Michaels, are you kidding me?
I know that about 32,000 people will die on the road this year. And more times than not, it's because that driver is distracted or impaired. So the concern here is safety, okay? And I couldn't agree with your statement more. I like to have a drink as much as the next guy, but drink responsibly. And why, if you're a celebrity and you're making buku dollars, again, a cab, a limo, or better yet, a chauffeur.
Yeah.
Have a driver.
Well, nobody should be drinking and driving. And by the way, every 31 minutes, somebody dies at the hands of a drunk driver in this country. Every 31 minutes. So during the course of the show, somebody has been killed by a drunk driver. These people have means. That's the part that bothers me more than anything. I agree with you. I go out and have a cocktail, whatever. And the amount that you can drink, it's based on how much you weigh. So Al Michaels, let's say Al Michaels weighs 170 pounds. He can probably have four cocktails in an hour and still be under the legal limit. So how much are you drinking that you hit the limit? He's 68 years old. Al can apparently can throw him back.
Apparently
he can.
He's built up a tolerance.
I guess so. Now you, at your 170 pounds, might
it's about be half my weight. But you know what? If I had to hang with John Madden for very long, I think I would be drinking too. I really would. But, you know, Reese Witherspoon, you mentioned her, and she didn't score any points with the media, the fact that her husband was busted for DUI, and she was not happy, very confrontational, in saying, do you know who I am?
And I think the officer said, are you kidding me?
I don't think he cares. All right. My Are You Kidding Me segment, Kobe Bryant. Yes, great player for the Lakers. Love Kobe Bryant. Great player. Tremendous work ethic. Unfortunately, tore his Achilles heel. He's gone. He's out. Here's what's kind of sickening. Coach Kobe continues to tweet during the games. Mike D'Antoni, I'm sure, doesn't appreciate it. It's kind of annoying to me. It's like, hey, you know what? Just kick back, chill. Does it always have to be about you, Kobe? Are you kidding me?
It's surprising he didn't tweet the Masters and say that was an illegal drop.
But he's tweeting post, 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 do this, do that, not like that, like this. It's like enough already.
Are you following Kobe's tweets?
A little.
A little?
A little.
It's a good reason for me not to be on Twitter. Number one, my kids won't allow me to because I can't follow them. They said, Dad, you're not allowed to. But that would drive me crazy with that. And yes, I think luckily, is D'Antoni on the sidelines doing this? Oh, hey, Kobe says we got to feed the post, guys. Let's make sure we get that taken care of. Or is Dwight Howard, is he at the free throw line going, oh, yeah, I agree with you, Kobe. I mean, it's minutia. It's Kobe being Kobe. It's always been about Kobe. And most of the time, obviously, he's been able to back it up. This whole social media stuff is getting way out of hand in that regard. So I agree with you.
I think it's great. I did not grow up with this social media, but I'm embracing technology. I mean, I wasn't the first person to have a cell phone, but I would be hard-pressed to imagine going through life without a cell phone today. In fact, Brett, when you go home today, when you make a call, will it be from a rotary phone?
No, not a rotary phone, no. But I do have the old landline. And I call. Can I have Klondike 5-7, please? And my grandmother will still answer the phone. Like, you know, the thing about some of this stuff is that it's now ruling everybody's lives. And I'm as guilty as anybody. I'm not on Twitter, but I do Facebook, and I have a very good time with it, saying all kinds of fun things on Facebook. And I know you're on there, and millions of people are in that regard. But when it's now interfering with what we do during a sporting event. Now, Kobe should be rooting for his team. Is he on the bench? Is he sitting next to the guys tweeting?
No.
Or is he on his couch in Maui?
He's on his couch in Maui.
Okay,
yeah.
First of all, why isn't he with the team?
He's not able to because he's recovering from the surgery. Otherwise, I'm sure he would be.
Otherwise, his wife should take the phone with her $40 million diamond ring and smash the phone and say, Kobe, watch the game and be quiet.
Right on. Yeah. Right. Yeah, but again, as far as the technology goes, I mean, so many of my friends refuse to embrace the technology. And again, I'm not savvy when it comes to social media. But again, it is the world that we live in, and I choose to embrace it. And I try to educate myself with it or just hire and delegate a young person who is savvy that way. Okay. But again, it goes back to music.
Did you see the story over the weekend about, not to interrupt, I'm sorry, but it was either on Showtime or HBO. It wasn't Real Sports. It must have been on Showtime. They were doing a story on Chris Berman, the announcer for ESPN, who is, what, in his 60s?
Okay.
He has never yet sent an email. Now, how do you work for ESPN as long as they have, with the technology that ESPN has brought to the table over years, always pushing the envelope in innovation when it comes to technology, and one of your main guys, who you rely on for football, has never sent an email? He must have so much money. He's got lackeys who are, shoot off an email. But he's never sent an email.
Well, that's interesting. I don't think that's anything to brag about. I think it's a bit ignorant, personally. But again, if you've been so successful in a niche market like he has, apparently he's outsourcing and delegating. I mean, did someone go to the bathroom for him, too? I mean, he doesn't even email. I mean, it's amazing. So, I mean, let's talk music. I mean, when you listen to music, do you still listen to it on 8-track?
No.
Embrace, I'm Brett. That's what this is about. Love. That's what this show is. Embrace the technology.
I moved up to cassettes.
All right, dead on. It beats the LP albums that I listen to.
Well, some of those obviously have got some value to them. So hang on to those albums because they still, the old classic vinyl's got some value to it. Nobody's banging somebody, on the door saying, "You got any 8-tracks I can buy?" But if you get some classic LPs, they've got some money on those. I think.
I fell for the old trick back in the 70s on the farm playing my records backwards to listen to a specific message, apparently. Right. And then I started playing back my country records, and it was kind of crazy because I got my dog back, I got my truck back, I got my wife back. That's an old joke.
Yes, Milton Brooks, take my wife, please.
Right. All right, well, let's get to an exciting, as good as it's been, it's about to get even better because Brett Grant and I together, this is the part of the show where we put money into your pocket as we together put you on the right side.
I'm first. I get to go first. I don't remember. Thursday was so long ago. I honestly don't remember what I gave you on Thursday and whether or not it won or lost. But I'm going to assume it lost just because I don't remember in that regard. But I'll go to one of the two NBA games tonight. The Chicago Bulls at the Brooklyn Nets. A couple of teams that, finished second in the Central Division, second in the Atlantic Division. We talked about it earlier. The Bulls are a team that has played pretty well on the road. They're a .500 team on the road. Brooklyn's a team at home that's not quite as dominant as we talked about over the course of the year as other teams are at home. But I think the biggest spot for me is the total in this game. It's sitting at 183.5. The Bulls were embarrassed in game one. They brought very little effort. They weren't ready to play. They looked a little deer in the headlights. Maybe it was we were waiting to bring back our guy, Mr. Rose. Where are you, Derek? We're hoping you could bring on the Superman cape and come out and save the day. That didn't happen. Now I think the Bulls go back, and Tom Thibodeau and his team have go back to the things that they do and do well, and that is play defense. And I think for the Bulls to win a game in a series or to win in Brooklyn, they've got to shut this team down. They cannot give up more than 90 points and expect to win. And I think if they do that, they can win a game. But if they hold the Nets to 90, which I think that's the number they need to have it. I like the under in the game today.
The identity for the Bulls defense, and they were embarrassed. I mean, they hang their hat on defense, and they gave up a slew of points on the road against the Nets. I would tend to agree with you. I mean, if I were to play the game, I would be on the under. Now, let's get to my right side. Let's recap Thursday. We talked about it a little bit earlier. I like the under in the Seattle game on Thursday, under 7. It fell 2-1, went 13 innings, so winner, winner, chicken dinner. Let's talk about today's action. I'm looking at a baseball game, National League. The D-backs taking on the Giants of San Francisco. The total for this game is 7, and they're shading the under minus 15, minus 20 cents, depending upon where you shop. And I'm not talking Walmart or Target. I'm talking sports books, Las Vegas and or the islands. You might think, wow, 5 cents, not a big deal, but it's $50 per thousand that you bet. Instead of, I mean, lay 15 cents as opposed to the 20. It's a difference between 1150 and 1200 times 3 to 5 bets a day. You know, it's $150 to $250 a day you're saving in juice. So try to minimize. Always shop, scalp, grind. Give yourself a fighting chance. Looking at this game, pitching matchup for the D-backs, Miley, a lefty. I'm impressed with his whip. Walks, hits per innings pitch, 1.09. And, you know, again, San Francisco, hey, we're talking a pitcher-friendly park. A lot of foul territory leads to easy outs and the alleys and the home run line. I'm telling you, 7, key number. The right side for me, Giants D-backs in San Francisco. I like the under 7 minus the 15 cents. Ring up the ringer. See the cashier.
Ryan Vogelsong will be on the mound for the Giants at home at AT&T Park. He's been very good at home. And the Giants at home, obviously, they have – are you surprised, though, at the struggles of Matt Cain this year so far with the Giants? He's been terrible.
He's been so consistent in the past, and especially at home. Average on the road, but this year, it's a little bit of a surprise. We've had some other heavy hitters in terms of big-name pitchers that have struggled out of the gate. But, you know, it's nice to see the Angels starting to come around. They've won 3 consecutive games. Trumbo hit a home run in the 13th inning yesterday against the Tigers to knock off Detroit. I do want to talk streaks. Arizona, 7 consecutive wins. The Angels, Arizona, 7. I need to clarify. The D-backs, 7 consecutive overs if we want to talk totals for just a couple of seconds here. Arizona D-backs, over. Questionable pitching, good hitting. Angels, 12 of their 17 games. You and I talk about this on a daily basis, that their pitching is questionable. They have a star-studded lineup offensively, so we've been mailing it in on a day-to-day basis, betting over. 12 of their 17 games have gone over the posted total. The Mets, another dead over team, 13 of 18 games have gone over. This is the surprising part, because I have lost money doing this. The Oakland A's, I mean, a team that's been known for pitching and questionable hitting, at home, I mean, we're talking about a team that's a pitcher-friendly park, and yet the A's, 15 overs this year.
No, you're right. And if you look at the number of runs scored by the Oakland A's, and you look at their offense, and then you look at the number of runs scored by the Los Angeles Dodgers, who we really talk about, who finally won a game over the weekend in Baltimore, going through, the A's have scored 100 runs in their 19 games, and the Dodgers have scored 54 runs in their 18 games. 54 runs.
That's amazing. I mean, I love baseball because of the subtleties. It's somewhat unpredictable. I bet numbers. I'm good with value. I love dogs. And this is why. Because who would have thought going into the season, based on what you just said, with what the A's have done in terms of scoring runs and the Dodgers' 54 runs for the season up to this point. Let's look at a couple of streaks. So winning streaks, the Milwaukee Brewers got off to a slow start.
They've got 7 in a row. Yeah.
7 in a row. Minnesota Twins, come on. 4 consecutive wins. Tigers, they've lost, what, 3-4 games in a row now?
4. Yeah, they got swept over the weekend. And yesterday, they probably should have beat the Angels yesterday, quite frankly. Didn't. The Angels, one issue, obviously. Another one is Albert Pujols, his health. He doesn't seem healthy. He says he's really in a lot of pain. And I'm not sure if that's going to be a trip to the disabled list or not, but look for Albert to start taking some time off or coming out of games if he's got that plantar fasciitis that's giving him some problems going through, that's for sure. There's streaks on the backside as well, teams with losing streaks. The Braves have lost 3 in a row, the Pirates 3 in a row, the Cubs 3 in a row, the Padres 3 in a row. teams are losing on those streaks as well as they go through.
Friendly reminder on the Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio. I'm Scott Pritchard alongside Brett Grant. We're here Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Good luck and goodbye.